Well, please turn to our reading this evening, which is taken from Romans chapter 15. And we're going to read from verse 1 down to verse 13. And notice how God is described in verse 5, the God of patience and comfort, and then in verse 13, and that's what we will speak a little more on, the God of hope. So, bearing others' burdens, Paul writes these words. We then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbour for his good, leading to edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus. Glorify God together. Therefore, receive one another, just as Christ also received us, to the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ has become a servant of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made to the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, for this reason I will confess to you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. And again he says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, laud him, all you peoples. And again, Isaiah says, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he who shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him the Gentiles shall hope. Now, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And it's always difficult at the end of a year and the beginning of a new year, God willing. It's a few days to go till 2025. I hope we all live to see it. And that's not being maudlin and sentimental. If any of you know Dix Lane, the back road between Laverham and going towards Old Skelmersdale, you know a man set off from work on Friday evening and didn't reach home. He ended up in Aintree Hospital and died there because he was knocked off his bike by either a drunk or a drug driver. So it's not being maudlin, sentimental or unrealistic to think that, yes, our times are in his hands. But the theme of our service this evening is hope. Looking forward to 25, but we're going to look back to 24. And my opening gambit is this: we're in very good company tonight because we're going to speak about the Jewish pilgrims. We're going to speak about the Apostle Paul. We're going to mention Charity Bancroft, who wrote that lovely hymn, When Satan Tempts Me to Despair. And we're going to mention John Newton, our good friend, with one of the lovely hymns that he wrote. So we've a lot to be grateful for as we enter our final evening service of 2024. And what we want to do and what we don't want to do is very, very clear. What we don't want to do this evening is simply look around us, because that will cause us to despair. We want to look back, we want to look down, we want to look up, and we want to look forward. So why aren't we going just to look around? Because as Christians, and as those who live in Great Britain in 2024, and God willing into 2025, as we look around, sometimes we are filled with absolute despair. We have a government which is intent on social engineering. We have a society which, by and large, has no care, hope, love for God. We can see that, can't we, as we look around at Christmas time and the way it's celebrated, where precious few boys and girls know about the real reason for Christmas. I was overhearing a conversation at the tea table. Well, what passed for a tea table tonight, full of Lego, etc., etc., etc. where Sophie said, "I don't believe in Father Christmas," and Elizabeth tactfully reminded her, "Well, you don't have to rub it in at school. If somebody says, 'What's Father Christmas?' etc., you know how it is, don't you?" But so many boys and girls today, so many adults today, we gave out 1,500 invitations. We had one response, and I don't know if that lady's come back yet. I hope she does, because she promised she would. So we don't want to look around, but we do want gratefully to look back. 1 Peter 3 verse 15 tells us we have a great opportunity in New Year when we speak to people just casually, or family or friends, and we wish them a Happy New Year. And then we can explain to them the reason for the hope we have within us that we will have a happy, blessed New Year, because we are Christians. And as Christians, we know that God has his best planned for us. Now, I'm not talking about letting go and letting God, and prayer changes things and things like that. But we do know, but we have a reason for the hope that lies within us. And we do know that God will bless those. We used to have say-so time in Covenanters. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. How many people do you feel brave enough to tell them you're a Christian? It's a very practical question, isn't it? To say, "Yes, I'm a Christian and I believe the Bible and I believe this and that and the other." You might get scoffed and laughed at, but we've always to have a reason for the hope that lies within us. So if we are tempted to look around and despair, but if we do like speaking to people, and you can speak to people normally, people, Christians aren't different in any way than other people. We have things that we speak about when we're out walking the dog or we're shopping and things like that. And if we wish someone a Happy New Year, we can perhaps challenge them, "Are you going to have a Happy New Year?" And we can give them a reason for the hope that lies within us. Because if we are Christians, we have a hope that lies within us. See, the problem with look around is things are so fluid and constantly changing financially, economically, morally, certainly. The downgrade in the established church, what's going to happen next, etc., etc., etc. So looking around, we can be discouraged, but we've always got to have a reason for the hope that lies within us. Please don't wish anyone an unhappy New Year. That would be very ungracious, wouldn't it? Wish people a Happy New Year and invite them to come to church, to First Friday, etc., etc., etc. However, we can look down. Psalm 40, please turn to it, the first three verses. Why would a Christian want to look down at the end of a year? For this reason. Because the Christian remembers from where he came. The psalmist writes these words. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. What's a Christian looking down upon? He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. What did God do next? He set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. He's put a new song in my mouth. Praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. Do you look back gratefully at how and why, amazingly, God saved you? Can you remember when you became a Christian and what might have happened if God had never saved you? Where would you be? What would you be doing? Would you still be here? We can look down from where we were to how love lifted us. We can remember with gratitude God's good grace. Romans chapter 2 verse 4 tells us something absolutely amazing about every single Christian, and it's something that sometimes we forget. Do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance. Do you despise God's goodness? Do you look back and think, I was worthy? Do you look back and said, I should have been saved? We spoke, didn't we, about Lydia last week. Oh, of course Lydia should have been saved. She was rich. She was attractive. She was influential. Of course God chose her. We heard about some amazing women this morning. No, none of that applies. The goodness of God has led us to repentance. And we look back and we can look down from whence we came and where we are now. When we look back to 2024, how do we look back? Oasis sang about looking back in anger. Perhaps we might look back with disappointment or regret or frustration. Because in our own selfish way, we didn't get our own way. We didn't get that job. We were struck down with unemployment or an illness or a heartache within the family. And our lives didn't go the way that we wanted. John Newton's hymn, and I found it in our hymn book. I ask the Lord that I might grow in faith and love and every grace, might more of his salvation know and seek more earnestly his face. Perhaps we entered 2024 resolved to be better Christians. And then in a great reality check, God designed something very, very different. And yes, we might look back, like Asaph, disappointed with ourselves, but hopefully never disappointed with God. Because God always does right. Always does the right thing. John Newton carries on. 'Twas he who taught me thus to pray, and he, I trust, has answered prayer. But it has been in such a way as almost drove me to despair. I hope that in some favoured hour, at once he'd answer my request, and by his love's constraining power, subdue my sins and give me rest. We often talk, don't we, about the battles Christians have with sin. I remember my father-in-law, when I was courting Jill, and we used to talk about favourite books, favourite authors, but he once said something that remained with me and remains with me to this day. He said, there are Christians who doubt their salvation. And he said, doubt in that sense is a good thing because it proves a spiritual life. Because if you're someone who just takes it for granted, well, I'm a Christian and never everything goes wrong, etc., 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 you should beware. And we can look back, can't we? And we can wonder, why on earth did that happen? Why did God allow that to happen? Was it for my good? Was it for my chastisement, for my sanctification? Instead of this, he made me feel the hidden evils of my heart and let the angry powers of hell assault my soul in every part. Yes, more with his own hand he seemed, intent to aggravate my woe, crossed all the fair designs I schemed, blasted my gourds and laid me low. Lord, why is this? I trembling cried. Will you pursue your worm to death? 'Tis in this way the Lord replied, I answer prayer for grace and faith. These inward trials I employ, from self and pride to set you free, and break your schemes of earthly joy, that you may seek your all in me. Does that hymn chime with you? Do you ever battle with sin? Do you have an easy Christian life where everything goes well and you can look back on 2024 and you can pat yourself on the back and say, yes, I made great spiritual progress, when sometimes you're only fooling yourself. Because the heart is deceitful above all things. Be realistic with yourself. Asaph was. He was driven to the point of despair until he went to the sanctuary. And then he realised the end of the wicked, his own spiritual state, and he saw God in a new light. His heart was melted within him, as he realised who he was and who God was. So as we look back, we might look back in anger and disappointment and frustration. We shouldn't be like that. We should look back with gratitude that God has persevered with us. Now, of course, it's not always counterproductive to look back and to look down. We hopefully can learn lessons of mistakes that we have made and sins that we must deal with and people we must speak to and be put right with and apologies that must be made. We can't just carry on regardless. But in all things, as I mentioned in the prayer, God will always do right by himself and by us. Nothing will thwart his purposes. So we might be angry and frustrated and disappointed at what happened to us in 2024, but God has meant it for his glory and for our good. Looking forward and looking up. Now, Ian's not here tonight, is he? But let's turn to Jeremiah 29, verse 11, and encourage ourselves with these words from the prophet who tells us he knows the plans that he has for us, plans for good. Jeremiah 29, here we are. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future, here's this word again, and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me and I will listen to you and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. And I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. So don't look around, but do look back and do look down and do look forward and do look up. How do you feel about 2025? How do you feel about the way that the nation is going? How do you feel about our new Labour government? How do you feel about your finances, your health, your prospects, your job, your employment? We can't change anything about the past and we can't change anything about the future. Now, that's not to say that God is an unfeeling, capricious God. No, we're his children. He cares for us. Jehovah Jireh, he will provide for us. Two words that John Beattie used to quote were the most difficult in the Christian life. Don't worry. Please turn to Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, where the Lord Jesus Christ lays down some guidelines for what the Christian life is really like. Matthew 6, verse 25. We've just had the Lord's Prayer, and he says these words. Do not worry. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? After all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Looking forward, yes, looking forward, We might do so with anticipation. There might be some great things coming our way, and we know it. It's party to a conversation between James and Elizabeth. Where should we go on holiday this year? Will it be Mid Wales, my suggestion, or will it be Cornwall again? Elizabeth doesn't want to go to Cornwall again. Sorry, David, but anyway. But we like planning things ahead, don't we? Oh, we're going to have a lovely holiday. We're going to buy a new car. We're having this done to the house, etc., etc., etc. Don't forget, God willing, Deo Volente. We've read, haven't we, those words from Matthew chapter 6. Turn to James chapter 4 now. The most practical book in the New Testament in the many senses, where he tells of living at one day at a time. James chapter 4, verses 13 to 17. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go such and such, we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit. Whereas, do you not know what will happen tomorrow? For what is your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Yes, we should plan ahead and be sensible. Of course we should, to know what our finances are and our health is, and have a health check and have your health MOT and things like that. But don't be so arrogant, as James said, to think we know it all. It's all planned out. No, it's not. Things can change in an instant. Yes, look forward, but principally, look up. Remember the Jewish pilgrims and their songs of ascent? I'm up to Psalm 125 now, but Psalm 121 and Psalm 123, they were encouraged to look up, look up, look up. Look where you're going. You're pilgrims. You're marching to Zion. Beautiful, beautiful Zion. Doesn't that speak so much about what real Christianity is all about? Don't look around. Look up. Look forward. Not with trepidation, but with anticipation. We're marching to Zion. Beautiful, beautiful Zion. It's a beautiful city of God. And that leads us just to for a few thoughts. Please turn now to the book of Romans, where Paul speaks about these wonderful Christian virtues of hope. And hope is not cross your fingers and hope it's going to be. Hope is sure and certain. And Paul reminds these Christians about bearing one another's burdens and tells us about the God of hope and encouragement. We read, don't we? In Romans 15, we then who are strong ought to bear with scruples of a weak, not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbour for his good, leading to edification. Christ did not please himself, as it is written, etc., etc., etc. And then verse 5, now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus. And then down in verse 13, we read of the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. God is a God of hope. He has given us his Holy Spirit. The fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, faith, meekness and temperance. All these things gifted to us by God, that we might be hopeful people filled with hope. So we're not just to look around and be discouraged and think, life is absolutely awful, there's nothing we can do about it. We're not just principally to look back, we can't change the past, but we are to look back in gratitude that what God has done for us, how he's brought us into his family, we've been adopted by his amazing grace into his family. But Paul says, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. There was a story told about a preacher who went to a church and didn't follow the established pattern, and the choir refused to sing. But then they came to the hymn, Marching to Zion, let those refuse to sing who never knew their God, and the choir all struck up. They were all believers. But of course they were so upset that this man had the temerity to change the order of service. What silly things get us so upset? Oh, somebody said this or somebody's done that. This is what Paul is talking about. Then we who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of a weak and not to please ourselves. The Christian religion was never designed to make our pleasures less. And if Christians are sad and morose, perhaps they're not Christians at all. Now, I'm not saying that we should have a big, bright smile on our face. We are weighed down by troubles and burdens, concerns about our family, those who aren't saved, have never made a profession of faith, concerns about our job and what we can and can't say, and will it get us into trouble? Concerns about the way the country's going and the social engineering that's going on and how are our children going to be taught and things like that. But in all things, we are reminded by Paul in Romans 15, verse 13, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Look forward to the future. Look forward to God's blessings. Look forward to the privilege of serving God, and that God is a God of hope will fill us with joy and peace. What a wonderful advertisement, if we can put it that way, for the Christian faith. People who do not worry in that sense because they've taken to mind the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they can say as they pray the Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, etc., etc., give us this day our daily bread. We can look back, can't we, with gratitude at these stories in the Old Testament about Jehovah Jireh, how God fulfills the needs of all his people. We can't change the past, we can't change the future, but we have an unshakable, I pray, an unshakable belief in this God who can fill us with joy and peace. The Christian religion is not hopeless. Christians are not a hopeless cause. Christians should be people of hope and anticipation as we look forward with hope to the future. So if we do make resolutions for the new year, let's keep on praying for a new pastor for Orton Park Baptist Church. And make that a resolution. Let's pray for the children who come to the YPF. Let's pray, hopefully and with hope, for the work of Little Fishes and First Friday and our outreach. Let's pray that God might put it into our minds to reach out even more into the community. We've got a great mission field on our doorstep here. Let's pray that God might make us useful. Yes, we might say, well, we're getting old or we're too busy and things like this. No, may God fill us with hope and confidence in himself as we carry on the work of the gospel. We can't change what's happened in 2024. We might be frustrated and disappointed and angry with ourselves, never angry with God. He never makes a mistake. But we can purpose to look forward to 2025 and ask that the God of hope will fill us with joy and peace in believing. that we may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.